All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. How's everybody doing? So my name's Chris Hopkins. I'm a technical product manager on the office marketing team in the U.S. So a lot of the things that my team does is specifically related to Office 365. What I do is work with Fast Track, Adoption Offer, and getting customers and partners to deploy Office 365 in their environments. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Is kind of that pre-sales to deployment path and what that looks like, and just the details around Fast Track, the details around the adoption offer. We'll look at the getting started experience, what that means from a trial perspective, rolling trial into production, getting a plan in place, right? What does that deployment plan look like? What do you need to do? What's available from Microsoft? Those sorts of things. And then we'll also talk about some of the details about deployment. We're not going to go into deployment. I'm not going to walk through all the technical details of setting up, you know, AD sync and doing remediation, all that stuff. We have other sessions that will dive deeper into those details. This is mostly to make sure that everybody understands what Microsoft's role is in getting customers deployed, getting you deployed, and helping partners get their customers deployed. So just show of hands, partners that are in the room. Okay, and then customers. All right. Okay, Microsoft people in here? This one? Okay. No, that's good. I didn't want like half the room to be full of Microsoft people because it's our customers and our partners that need to know about this information. So I do a lot of work with our field reps, making sure that they understand how to talk to our customers and our partners about Fast Track, the adoption offer, what needs to be done to get customers deployed on the services. Excuse me. So those three pieces are what we'll dive into, but how many of you have heard of Fast Track for Office 365? Okay, so actually most of you. Has anybody engaged with the Onboarding Center and actually gone through a deployment with Microsoft helping out from the, okay, a couple of you? Okay, that's good. That's good. So what Fast Track is, I guess, prior to, sorry, I don't know if that was me or you, prior to FY15, right, obviously you could purchase Office 365, you could set up the trial experience, you could get customers deployed, but it was all up to our partners to do that work, right, all up to our customers to do a lot of that work as well. What we found is that there was a lot of differences in processes that people had across the board. And specifically from like a customer scenario, like where do I even get started? What does the process look like? What tasks do I need to do to get this stuff rolled out? You know, where should I start? Should I start with hybrid experience? Should I move stuff to OneDrive for Business? Should I start with Exchange Online? Do I have a small set? Maybe I move IT, maybe I move sales, maybe I move some other organization up there first. Let them try that out as we roll out these different things. So Fast Track for Office 365 is really, you know, a process that we have that we can help guide customers and partners through that experience to make sure that everybody follows that same methodology so that we don't get hung up on roadblocks throughout deployment. I don't know how many of you have gone to TechNet and said, hey, I'm going to search for a technical article on how to do, you know, Active Directory sync with Office 365. You know, you probably find a number of different articles published in a number of different places with a number of different dates. Which one's right? Which tool do I use? There's a couple tools out there now. Do I use a partner? Can I do this all myself? What is the specific guidance? And so that's a lot of what Fast Track is meant to do, is to set up that process and set up that guidance to make that available to you. It's free as part of the service. And what that means is that I like to talk about it as like a new feature of Office 365, right? So if you purchase Office 365, one of those components obviously is, you know, Office, OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, Exchange. Another component of that is Fast Track. You get that as part of that service that you purchased. Now, whether or not you actually use that, you know, just like OneDrive for Business, you can choose to use that in your environment or not. You can also choose to use Fast Track in the adoption offer if it makes sense for you or for your customers. And we'll dive about the last half of the presentation, we'll dive into the details of what that means so you can kind of get an understanding of that. But it's there and waiting for you. And actually, somebody's going to call you up. They're going to talk to your partner, your sales rep, the stakeholders that you've identified in the corporation that are going to be part of the deployment. And they're going to, talk to you about what Fast Track is, what they can help you with, what they can help your partners with, et cetera, and then look at your deployment plan with you and say, hey, let's understand this. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what you're going to do. See what your roadmap looks like, milestones, et cetera, throughout that process. It's available for, all those major SKUs of Office 365. And again, we'll go into more of the details of that. But I mean, you can see right here on the slide, if you've purchased 150 more seats of Office 365, you have that Fast Track service benefit available to you. Just before we get deeper into the presentation, just so you know, if you do have any questions or if something isn't clear when I'm going through this content, please make sure you interrupt me. Say, hey, can you kind of go over that again? What I find is that between the details of Fast Track, what's available in the adoption offer, the getting started content materials and that sort of stuff in the phase, it's very important to be very clear on what each one, how that segments out and what each one provides, because there is some overlap. And depending on how your partners are talking to your customers or if you've talked to your sales reps and how they've described it, just want to make sure that that stuff is very clear on what you get, who's doing what your responsibilities are, et cetera, for the Office 365 deployment. But we'll get back to those details in a minute. So upfront, I know in the keynote, you saw that graph there. He talked about operations and all the stuff going on and what engineering's really focused on. And then if you looked on the left, there was a couple bullets there around trials and getting started and seeing that whole experience. Obviously, you've got to get to that point before you can get into deployment and adoption. But getting started, which is part of the Fast Track experience, is all about getting a production tenant set up for you and get that ready to use with your environment. Now, you're asking me, well, what do you mean by a production tenant? Really, every Office 365 tenant that you create is production ready, right? All that is a tenant that has a specific license attached to it. So if you go on to our deploy.office.com site and you say, hey, I want to sign up for an Office 365 trial, it's going to ask you for some questions, who you are, your company name, that kind of stuff. What do you want your tenant URL to be? A lot of people go in there and they'll say, I don't know, Contoso Test or Test Dummy or just some goofy URL that they put in there to get a Fast Track tenant up and running. Now, what I'll say is that's fine, and I encourage people to go out there and set up tenants. And even if it's for yourself, you set up one just for yourself through the trial so you can go in there and start doing a lot of things. I've got many set up for myself where I do experimentation, app development, et cetera. But when I mean production-ready tenant, I really mean when you're going through that experience and you're talking to somebody in sales and you're going to move to the cloud, you're going to move into Office 365, think about that because you want to set up a tenant with the proper URL that's going to get you started, right? Obviously, you're going to have initially those trial licenses associated with it, right? You're going to pick some people in the organization. You're going to sign them up and say, hey, here's our kind of our production-ready trial environment. Let's start testing it out. But when you're ready to deploy, all that is a switch from a trial license to a production license on that same tenant, right? So you can get Azure Active Directory configuration and the syncing. You can get all that stuff set up. You can set up your domain names. You can configure all that stuff even though all you have is the trial license associated with that tenant. So all the same capabilities are there. What I find a lot of times is we get a lot of calls from the sales team saying, hey, you know what? I'm talking to my customer. They're ready to go to the cloud. Here's their tenant name. And they'll have contosotest.sharepoint.com. It's like, how do we change that? We've done a bunch of work over here. That's really difficult to do, right? We can't just go in and say, well, tenant, you're now this URL and still at that URL. There's migration that has to take place. And we actually don't have the tools to migrate you, like if you set up content and all that kind of stuff, apps and everything else, build sites, we don't have anything that can take all that stuff out and move it onto a new tenant that you've set up with the URL that you want to go into production with. So from the getting started experience, right up front, go into the deployoffice.com website, or if you have your partner do it, because partners go into a partner portal, well, they'll fill out your company information, they'll add your tenant URL, they'll kick off the provisioning process, and you guys will get emails to say, hey, here's the tenant that your partner set you up with, or you know, that you set up with from the public site. But it's making sure that just the understanding is there that this isn't something that you have to throw away. You can set up that trial, get the right URL attached to it, and then roll into pilot and then into production all in that same single environment. Now, one of the things that we'll do is I'll show you a getting started experience. And what I mean by that is basically the trial licenses that get attached to our tenant, and then the content that we also automatically provision to that tenant. So one of the things that we got feedback from in the past was that, okay, I go sign up for this trial for Office 365, and I sign in, and what am I looking at? I'm looking at a blank SharePoint home screen, right? Users don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. Is my mail here? What am I supposed to do with this kind of stuff? So now that we provision these trial tenants through this getting started experience, we also create what we call our fast track getting started site, which is populated with a ton of content for both the IT professionals in your organization and the business users in the organization. So when they sign in, they can go to the fast track site. And depending on what their role is when those users got provisioned, like if I'm your partner and I went on there and created your tenant for you, you know, I could say Joe's an IT pro and Chris is a business user. Well, if I go on and sign into that tenant, go to the fast track site, I'm going to see a whole bunch of content that's related to business users. How to use OneDrive for Business, right? How to use Yammer, how to do all these different things, you know, Delve. These different things that you've seen in the keynote, that kind of stuff is presented to me in a context that's like, this is how you get your job done now with these new tools and these new capabilities. And there's actually scenarios that it runs you through. A lot of video learning, stuff like that that's available up there. And a lot of stuff that can be tracked too by your, you know, IT department. If they're doing the deployment, they can say, hey, we signed up the sales department for, you know, this part of this pilot experience. And it looks like this number of people have gone in and watched these videos and done these different things and viewed these labs and those sorts of things. So you can kind of judge what readiness looks like in the organization as well, and if people have looked at that stuff. From an IT professional, you know, if Joe signed in as an IT pro to that same site, he's going to see IT pro content. So he's going to see a bunch of hands-on labs that are run out of Azure directly from his tenant that are going to walk him through like hybrid exchange configuration, right? Office Pro Plus deployment, which is a session going on after lunch in the next room over. You know, those sorts of things. And that, again, that's a readiness thing. It's like, have the people in your IT department gone through these different labs? Do they understand how to deploy Office Pro Plus? Do they understand how to migrate, you know, OneDrive for Business up to the cloud from on-prem, set up Exchange, et cetera? So there's a lot of content here that's very important for just that journey into, you know, pre-sales. Okay, we're deploying, now we're adopting, right? And the adoption phase is all about, you know, how to get users in the service and using SharePoint, Exchange, OneDrive, all these different things. The other point I'd make about the getting started content, and I think I'm just talking a little bit about the content itself, that's not just like pre-sales and like pilot and attached to the trial. I know a lot of customers who have taken, they're already on Office 365, but since we've launched this content, they've taken their tenant and they've had us deploy that content to their production tenant. So any Office 365 tenant can go and sign up for that getting started experience, and we'll build out that site for you on your tenant, whether it's got trial licenses, production licenses, whatever it is, and then you've got that content that lives in that tenant until you decide you want to delete it. Maybe you don't want that anymore, and you go in and you delete that slight collection out of your tenant. It's totally up to you. But from the public site, deploy.office.com, under the Getting Started tab. There's just a simple form, and I'll show it to you. You fill it out, that gets your trial going, and that's where you can submit for your tenant to be provisioned with any of that content. This is what I was talking about. I wasn't advancing my slides, so this is kind of a view, and I'll show this to you in the demo of the Getting Started for Users. Again, you get this nice site that's got a bunch of scenarios and stuff set up for walking users through these different experiences that they have in Office 365 now. Instead of signing in and saying, hey, this is your, you know, team site, and it's got a calendar on it that's empty, right? That wasn't a very good experience for a lot of users. Because again, they don't know, they're just looking in there and somebody told them, hey, we moved your mail into Office 365, log in, and they log in and they see this blank SharePoint site. And they're like, well, I don't know where my mail went, I don't know where files went, that kind of stuff. So the learning content that there is very important. And then, you know, we've got a lot of IT pros here at this conference. I know a lot of them. I've talked to a lot of them. You know a lot of the details about deployment, you know, setting up, you know, ADFS, all those kinds of things. But if you don't, this content in the IT pro side of things, and again, the same thing, you've got this site specific to you to walk you through all of that. I think one of the more important pieces, I mean, the learning stuff is important. You know, it's all cataloged right there for you. You can walk through it. This is, you know, step one, step two, step three, how you should go through it. But we also list out like a project management schedule of, you know, getting started, deploy, adopt, where we say, hey, you know, if you want to follow our methodology, which is part of what Fast Track is, you can go into this IT Pro site and look at the change management content that's in here. And we'll say, you know, hey, step 1.4 is, you know, go talk to your users about the pilot. Let's provision a couple users. Let's get them into OneDrive for Business so they can see these different experiences on into deploy, setting up, you know, ADFS and these different things. And then into adopt, where it talks about, you know, connecting with partners to build out additional scenarios that might be helpful, you know, migrating apps from on-prem into the cloud, all these other things that, you know, make adoption happen within the organization. And again, I'll give you a demo of this, but within the IT Pro, this is actually a SharePoint app that was developed. It actually sits in your tenant when it gets provisioned, and we actually update it. So when new scenarios come out, and this is kind of the view that you're seeing here, as new scenarios come out, or maybe new videos, new labs, et cetera, on different things, like Delve is pretty new. I know they're building demos and white papers and stuff for it. We should see that roll into these scenarios, and so that stuff will just come into that SharePoint site. We provision that, but that stuff lives in Azure. This is your portal through it. We provision it for each one of your tenants, and then we can go in there and update the content and make sure that you've got the latest and greatest stuff that's available for Office 365. And some this is the additional scenarios piece here. Today we've got a number of different scenarios. I mean, and these are role-based. So, you know, sales and marketing. Well, what's important for them? So our sales and marketing team help build out, you know, what those scenarios look like. And a lot of the content is similar between them. Obviously, using OneDrive for Business, you know, people are going to use that pretty much the same way, depending on what their role is, but it's just going to be rolled into different scenarios on when they would use it, why they would use it, those sorts of things. So does that stuff make sense around the getting started content? Okay. Just make sure there was no questions out there that anybody had on that. So let me go to my demo, which is let's make sure we can get it here. There we go. So this is a tenant that I use for some other things, but in here, in this tenant, I have the Fast Track content. There's only one site. This is probably what navigation would look like in most new tenants that haven't really created anything yet. But what I would say is this is one of the sites, and it's kind of hard to see there from the Fast Track portal. There we go. But that's just your tenant name /sites/Fast Track. So what we've done is within your tenant, we've created a brand new site collection that we call Fast Track, and we build all these apps and all these scenarios out into it. Now I'm signed in as myself, and I'm an administrator in this particular tenant. So when I signed in, I see the IT pro content. Now I can get the business user content. It's right here. So both are available to me. But as a business user signing into this site, they would just see the scenario specific to business users. They wouldn't see any of the IT pro content. So we look through this a little bit. We zoom in there a little so you can see that a little bit better. So here you can see down this left-hand navigation screen, so we've got a couple different things, you know, pointing out training labs, video learning. So those are the labs that I was talking about that actually set up Azure hands-on lab environments for you that people can walk through. So when we talk about Exchange hybrid configuration, we set up VMs, right, in Azure, so that you can go through the steps with the lab guides, so that people can go through the steps and see, okay, this is a typical on-prem, you know, Exchange scenario, and let's walk through the steps on how to take that hybrid into the cloud with Office 365 Mail and do those different things. So that all that content is surfaced under training labs within that. And then video learning is just a collection of different videos, a lot of the same stuff, but, you know, not hands-on lab driven, just, you know, you sit back and watch it, take notes, that sort of thing. The piece that I was talking about is under fast track tasks and change management. So this is all about, you know, where do we get started and what's the proper path to take to go through deployment. And let me go ahead and click on fast track tasks just so you can get an idea of what that looks like. There it goes. So you can see down the left-hand side here, we've got pilot, we've got deploy, and we've got enhance. And like I said, if we look at some of these items, you know, you can see just we get started with some basics. Get educated, how to get educated, service overview, how to add users, right? And this is what we're talking about in the pilot phase. So this would be this production-ready tenant that you've set up that has those trial licenses attached to it. Obviously, there's only so many licenses that you have available to assign users to. But we go through and assign users, connecting existing email accounts, how to do management, some ideas around setting up mailboxes and groups, you know, DLP, mail flow storage, all that kind of stuff, down into, you know, the good stuff around actually deploying. There's some information on how to convert those, that pilot or those trial licenses over to your actual paid licenses. You know, and again, it depends on what you purchase, because when you sign up for a trial, you get E3 trial licenses, which is pretty much everything, but maybe you bought something else. Maybe you bought E1, maybe you bought E4, maybe you bought a mix of a whole bunch of different things. So, you know, just going through this stuff here helps you set those licenses up properly in the tenant. Okay? And then we get into some more detailed stuff, setting up your domain, right? You don't want people to go to contoso.sharepoint.com, right? You want them to go to contoso.com or something like that and sign in. So validating that URL, validating that domain, and then coming into setting up link, voice, organization, all the way through completing deployment. So the fast track and adoption offer piece is really everything from getting started up to the end of your deployment cycle. Now we have other stuff in there that, you know, the enhanced piece is kind of what I call the adoption piece. And that would be like, well, what other services are available? Maybe Exchange Online Protection, maybe you want to add that. You know, maybe you want to do some other scenarios with your partner, right? Maybe they want to do app development, move apps into the cloud, that sort of thing. So there's a little light guidance on that and kind of this fast track piece. But obviously that's not, you know, fast track isn't going to help you with your migration of apps on-prem into the cloud. That's kind of a partner scenario with you and your partner. If we go over to the business user site, and again, I'm signed in as an IT pro, so it takes me there first. But if we go to the business user site, you know, one of the neat things about this, and it's been, you know, completely customized, this is a SharePoint app. You can see that it's got a bunch of different tips that pop up now and then and tell you where certain things are, right? Obviously, navigation is always, it's very important, and we're always trying to make navigation better, right? I don't think it'll ever be right for any service just because of ways different people, different generations expect different things, but you know, we always try to make it easier. And this is from somebody that's getting into Office 365, signing in and seeing this experience. They can get in here and say, okay, well, maybe now I can find my mail. Maybe now I can find my OneDrive for Business library that I was told is where I need to be storing all my documents. Or where IT just told me, hey, we just moved all your documents into OneDrive for Business. And now they're like, great, well, where'd they go? I can't find any of my stuff now. So this is a great site for them to come to and just kind of browse around. Can't really break anything here. You know, if one of the cool things about this content is that, you know, if, let's say IT pros, you know, you have administration access to this stuff and you're in your playing around and you do break something, you can always delete the site collection and ask us to reprovision it and we'll spit it all back out to you brand new again. So, but I think the best thing about this is that this doesn't go away unless you get rid of it. So, you know, this can just live in your Office 365 tenant forever. And new employees, you can say, hey, go to this page, go through this content, send them email with specific links, et cetera, to help get them onboarded into the scenario. So just, you know, here, for example, store sync, share your files. Again, it gives you examples on how to do that and then a training path on how to go through that and see the videos and stuff to do that with. Any questions about the getting started content at all before we keep going? Yeah.
Can you customize it by what you're actually rolling out, like just Pro Plus and just OneDrive and just, or is it all or nothing?
At this point, it's pretty much all or nothing. Yeah. I mean, you could go in there because, I mean, it's all driven. It's a SharePoint app, and it's all driven by lists and content, and you know, so I couldn't tell you, hey, don't go and delete this because it might break that because of all the links and interdependencies, but I'm sure you can probably go in there and get some stuff out or hide some stuff or that sort of thing to surface very specific content. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point because I know a lot of organizations that are moving into Office 365, it's a long process, right? And one of the first things that a lot of organizations that I've talked to are doing, I talked to a very big one, 3M, last year. They were moving like 158,000 users to Office 365, but the first thing that they did was they just moved them to OneDrive for Business, right? And why? Because they didn't have to manage all the storage and all that stuff on site anymore. It was all in the cloud. They could share all their documents and do all that stuff. One of the big scenarios for them was Office on the iPad, which, you know, rolled out at pretty much the same time that they were moving to OneDrive for Business. So, and that was big for them because a lot of their mobile workforce, a lot of their sales guys were out there with iPads, and they would just go up to OneDrive for Business and go, hey, there's that product brochure. Let me talk to you about this product. You know, they go in and just talk about, you know, 3M and the products and stuff from presentations they had, you know, and they could share that content out very easily. And that's the only device they had was an iPad. And so they rolled out OneDrive for Business immediately so they could get all that content in the cloud and everybody could get to it on their phone and their device. Right. Otherwise, it was, you know, it was never going to take off because they most of their users are out there in the field doing that kind of stuff. So very, very important scenario for moving that to the cloud, because really all you need for that is the identity piece, your domain, and then getting content moved up there. So any other questions? Yeah, question.
What's the process for getting
fast track? So for the fast track getting started, let me show you from the public site. So if we go to deploy.office.com, and so that simple URL right there, it's going to take you to this site, which is segmented into all the different pieces. If you look at the different tabs at the top, right, we've got getting started, we've got onboarding, we have migration, and adoption. Right? Those are the kind of the main pieces that I deal with from a fast track point of view. So if you go under getting started, and that's a good question because this I still think this form right here is a little bit confusing, but it's basically two steps. Step one, do you already have a tenant? No. Okay, well, what kind of tenant do you want? Do you want an enterprise tenant or do you want an education tenant? And the reason it asks you between those different things is because for education, it actually sets up different content, more student, teacher, learning type content rather than business user type content. So first, go get your tenant set up. Second, whether you're having that tenant set up, and this is just, let me backtrack a little bit. this first step here is just that blank tenant. So if you just do that piece right there and you never come back to the site, you're going to have just this empty SharePoint experience like I was talking about earlier. So come back and do the second step, which is the fast track getting started content deployment. And so then if you go through that, let me get out of that. So if we go into this form here, it's going to say, hey, who are you? Where are you from? I can enter that information. If I click on the next button, it's going to say, tell me about your tenant. I'm going to say, hey, it's contoso.sharepoint.com. Here's my admin credentials for that so that we can sign in and build that whole app experience out for you. And it's all automated. You'll get an email. It'll say, hey, we're starting the process. We're going to provision that stuff. It'll say in the email, we're not touching anything. The only thing we're doing is we're going to create a site collection, and everything's going to be in that site collection. We're not going to create users, remove users, touch any data, any of that stuff. We just have some scripts, and some of you have probably seen all the APIs for setting up a site collection, deploying content and all that stuff. Same thing, we just do it from the content that we have and push it all out there. So that's the public site. Your partners can also do this for you. There's a partner portal where they sign in and they, you know, we're tracking the deals, the customers and stuff they're working on. Hey, this customer's purchasing this much, et cetera. We want to sign them up for a tenant. We want to, and that's a seamless process. They just get in there, register you. You get the same emails and everything. This is just the public site. Like if you're not working with a partner, you know, you haven't got that relationship established yet. You know, I think there was one more question over there, or is there? Yeah. So you're specifically, this is for anything, anybody. Okay. If you come, we'll get into the details of the fast track. But no, that's one of those confusing points. Because really this getting started experience, I mean, I don't really consider this fast track because fast track is a very specific engineering task and process to get you deployed. That's my point of view of it. But up front, you obviously have that getting started experience where we need to get you a tenant set up, get you in there to experience it, and then we can really get into the fast track deployment process. This getting started content is available to anybody, any size tenant. Just go up there, sign up for it. If you've got a tenant today that you have 5 licenses in there, just go in there and ask for the content. It'll get provisioned out to it. Does not matter. Yeah. So. Was there any more questions before I move on? Okay. So, one of the aspects of fast track and that kind of that in between the getting started and the fast track deployment is this idea of setting up a deployment plan. Now, that's going to vary depending on the size of the organization, the complexity of the organization, all those kinds of factors. You know, what your roadmap looks like, when you want to get certain things rolled out, etc. But I think it's important to understand and work through all that stuff. Now, if you're a small organization, if you have 10 employees, right, people are probably walking around with laptops with, you know, all kinds of different tools on them. They've got Office that you've just given to them, they've installed it, etc. So your deployment plan might not be that detailed. You don't have any custom apps you developed on SharePoint or Exchange or Office or any of that kind of stuff that you have to worry about migrating. You might not even be using Active Directory, right? But then you go into the really complex organizations that have multi-forests set up. You know, they got stuff set up around the world. They obviously have large investments in custom applications that are integrated into their line of business applications, servicing all that through Dynamics and SharePoint and et cetera. You know, obviously it's very critical for those organizations to go through deployment planning and come up with the details on what's moving when and how, and what do we see as risks and roadblocks and those sorts of things, right? Because again, and that goes back to the OneDrive for Business migration. That's an easy one for organizations to get. Obviously they have to go through the identity hurdle if they've got multiple forests they have to deal with. But you know, they don't have all these integrated apps and all this stuff with OneDrive for Business where they do with others. So they can segment out those workloads and they can say, okay, we're doing OneDrive for Business today. Next week, let's look at Exchange. Next month, let's look at SharePoint, you know, and so on, and go through that. But that's kind of the idea of getting that deployment plan in place. Now, whether that's something you work on yourself, with your partner, with MCS, et cetera, what I will say is that the deployment plan, when you are contacted by the onboarding center at Microsoft, right, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, so let's go through a quick little scenario. I go online right now. I'm talking with a partner, right, and my partner says, hey, you know what, just go purchase some licenses, right? Maybe they're not going to purchase for me, right? I go online, stick a credit card in, I buy 200 licenses, right, that way. Maybe I go through a VL. However I purchase, it doesn't really matter. Somebody's going to get notification in the onboarding center that says, hey, Chris just bought 200 licenses of E3 on an Office 365 tenant. So what they're going to do is they're going to go through the motions of figuring out who the customer is, right? Who their partner is, if they're working with a partner. Some people are, some people aren't, right? They're going to gather all the information about those stakeholders of the business. One of the things that the deployment plan does, and we'll jump into that too, because that's actually in the portal. Click on the management app. One of the things that the deployment plan does is help you specify who those stakeholders are. So when the onboarding center is kind of going through these motions of figuring out who the stakeholders are, hopefully that'll load up here, you know, they'll see, hey, project manager is this, right? ADFS is going to be configured by this guy, right? Exchange is going to be handled by this lady. You know, they're going to find all these people. The partner's going to do this work, et cetera. Oh, there we go. So what I'm trying to get to here is this is on the IT Pro content. This is still the same getting started content that you've deployed. So it doesn't matter if you're 5 users or, you know, 100,000 users on your tenant. And it's really slow, but I wanted to show you what the deployment plan looks like, because it's actually a pretty cool experience from the fact that if your partner is signing you up, oh, there we go. If your partner's signing you up through our portal, through the partner portal, they're going to provision your tenant, and they've got a bunch of tools like this available to them. They're not going to see this getting started content through the portal, but they will see that same deployment plan. So your partner can actually be, you know, somewhere else and fill out part of your deployment plan, identify stakeholders, you know, stuff that the partner's going to work on for you, right? Well, the customer is in this experience here filling out, you know, who their stakeholders are and what their milestones look like, right? Certain information. Because there might be information in here that the partner just doesn't know. And unfortunately, I might not be able to show you that experience right now. Let's try one more time. And it's not, I think the deployment plan that's in place in the portal today would probably take, anybody here that knows the answers to the questions would probably take you less than 20 minutes to fill out, right? They're very simple questions, who the project manager is, right? Who these different roles are. You can identify whoever you want. It's very customizable. It'll ask you things like, what does your identity scenario look like? Are you using Active Directory? Do you have multiple forests? You know, how many users, how many objects, those sorts of things. But it asks you all those sorts of questions. It also asks you things like, when do you want to get started? Like, you know, if somebody at Microsoft was going to help you get started with the fast track process, when would you want them to contact you, right? When do you want to be complete with your deployment, right? And then throughout that process, are you doing Exchange first? Are you doing OneDrive for Business first? You know, all those different things. So we're obviously not going to demo that. We're just going to keep going. Maybe I can get it to run at the end of the session. But that would be what the deployment tool is used for. Now, it's not a very detailed plan. I know you couldn't see it, but those questions are very high level. And they're high level for a reason, because we don't want people to get stuck at that point. A lot of our customers that are going to be contacted by their partner in the onboarding center, you know, the onboarding center really just needs to know, you know, when they want to get started, who the right people are to talk to, because they're going to have those conversations with that person that's handling Active Directory, You say, okay, Tom, you're doing Active Directory. Let me set up a meeting with you next week. We'll connect over Link or Skype or whatever. You can share your screen with me. I'll show you the right tools to run. We'll verify things are going to work, right? These sorts of things. So they'll dive into the details. But a lot of times also the partner is going to dive into those details or know those details. So they're going to take that, what I kind of call the preliminary deployment plan, which is those high-level questions. It'll spit out a document too at the end of the day. But that partner might go through that stuff and say, okay, well, this is the Active Directory identity section. And in here's just a couple of the questions that you answered in the plan. So let's spend some time. Let's actually look at your Active Directory. And let's identify risks and roadblocks and, you know, objects that aren't going to work and, you know, apps that are using identity that might cause issues with Azure AD and those sorts of things. And detail those out in the plan, right? Because, you know, frankly, a lot of our partners know that stuff. And when the onboarding center calls them to work with them, they're going to say, hey, you know what, Chris, we got this covered. This is what our plan looks like. And I'm going to say, yep, that plan looks good. Call me when you're done. We'll verify that everything's going to work. And then, you know, we can move on to the next phase of the project. So the deployment planning piece is very important. And there's actually a lot of our customers have benefits available to them through software assurance, depending on, you know, the licenses that you purchase for Office 365. You might have benefits that you can cash in on to say, hey, you know what, Chris, I want my partner to come out for 3 days and do this deep dive deployment planning session, right? And that's not something that you know, the customer's paying the partner for. That's something that Microsoft is paying the partner for, right? Or MCS. MCS is any qualified cloud productivity partners, or MCS, you know, they're qualified to go out and lead these engagements, 3-day engagements, 10-day engagements. Obviously, you know, if you're a smaller organization, you might not need a 10-day engagement, but you know, if you've got 200,000 people across the world with multiple forests, you might need that 10 days to go through all that planning. So that service is available there, right? And they'll work through that deployment plan piece to help you fill out those simple questions in the tool, but then also build out that larger plan based on the information that they gather over the course of this engagement. Any questions about the deployment plan? I know the demo didn't work. But just imagine a couple boxes that say, hey, who's the project manager? What's his name? What's his email? What's his phone number? Right? When are you getting started? When do you want to be finished, et cetera? No questions? Okay. So fast track onboarding. Talked about this a little bit. Now, again, it's a new benefit of the service. It's a new feature that's there that you have when you purchase qualifying licenses of Office 365. Now, there's a lot of terms and conditions and details around what you can purchase, what you have to purchase, when you have to purchase it, etc. But for the most part, most things are covered, right? We get into things down here at the bottom, where it says available for all customers with 150 or more seats of an eSKU, gSKU, aSKU. So that means education customers, government customers, enterprise customers, they can all qualify for this fast track benefit. So they're not excluded from that, right? And the fast track benefit, again, is assistance from a Microsoft engineer. So these are Microsoft engineers. Some of them actually came from MCS and moved into our onboarding centers to help customers with deployment. But these are real Microsoft employees. They've had background checks. So I know some people, you know, might be in the financial industry, et cetera, that require, you know, full-time employees of background checks and certain certifications in the right country, et cetera, before they can, you know, even just remotely see, you know, your portal and what data is there and that sort of stuff. So these engineers are provided to remotely assist customers and partners with deployment. So remotely assist, right? No Microsoft engineer from the Fast Track team is going to come on site and do your deployment for you, right? Well, no, it's a big point that comes up because people hear that, oh, Microsoft's doing deployment now for Office 365 with this new Fast Track thing. It's like, well, hold on. we're providing assistance, again, that process, right, to make sure that we can get customers moved into the cloud with the least headaches, right, the least roadblocks, right? Because nothing's worse than getting into, like, you know, setting up ADFS and you're reading 12 different articles on TechNet wondering which step's the next step and which one's right and et cetera based on your environment, and you're scratching your head, and then that's a roadblock, and then it stalls everything, and then somebody says, hey, you know what, maybe Google's easier, let's go that way, right? We don't want that, not at all, right? Very specific, prescribed process to get in there, and they're going to provide you with that remote guidance and work with you on that. Like I said, somebody's going to look in the deployment plan and see that Chris is the guy that's kind of focused on getting ADFS set up, all right? So they're going to talk with me, and I'm going to tell them, hey, this is what I know, this is what we're planning to do. You know, the onboarding center engineer is going to say, okay, well, here's a couple tools that you might not know of. This is how they work. Share me with the logs so that we can see, and I'll just kind of provide you my insights as to what you should do, because I know the office, I know the service very well, and I'll be able to give you that guidance and kind of tell you, hey, this particular object's going to cause you some issues or this structure, et cetera. So just being really clear on that it's remote assistance, right? We're still heavily focused on partners going in there and helping our customers do the work. And in a lot of cases, like I said, you know, partners know how to do this stuff. You know, they've engaged with some of our onboarding center engineers and said, hey, you know what? I've got this phase of it. I'm going to need your help on this other phase. Or maybe there's certain tasks that are cheaper for the onboarding center engineer to do because it's a remote task. Maybe they can say, hey, well, let me run this script, and that'll set up these users and these licenses in the cloud. Well, the partner is getting paid to do these other tasks on site that we're not going to do because we're not going to come on site and do that. So eligibility and support. So we already said 150 licenses of Office 365. Again, these decks are available on the Yammer group, and I'll be happy to answer any questions in that as well. But if we look at the details on that, and I can zoom in for people there that are in the back. So E1, E3, E4, that also, you know, correlates to A, G, those other SKUs, right, for education and government, Exchange Online, Pro Plus, you know, all that stuff. So there's a lot of SKUs in here that are covered. If you just went up today and bought like nothing but a K SKU, a kiosk SKU, those are not eligible for Fast Track, but pretty much everything is. But if you buy some kind of combination of, like if I went up there and bought 200 licenses of E3 and 500 K SKUs, right, I'm still eligible for Fast Track because I purchased those 200 licenses, right? All the onboarding work's the same. We still have to do Active Directory remediation. It's just now I've got to assign users E3 licenses and K licenses to get them up there and using the service. When it talks about eligibility for applications, this is something that comes up quite often is, well, what workloads in Office 365 are those engineers going to help with? And it's, you know, pretty much everything, Exchange Online, SharePoint, et cetera, OneDrive for Business. So we cover all of that stuff. This slide is actually a little bit out of date. I don't know if you read that in the back, but this actually says one single Active Directory forest. So recently they announced that they would do multi-forest capability through the onboarding center. And again, a lot of that stuff is partner-led, and we need tools set up on site to kind of remediate all those situations. So just be aware that, again, as they were talking about in the keynote, as things change on a monthly basis, right? I mean, engineering's trying to keep up as well on the onboarding side, right? Trying to make sure that that's accelerated as well. Question?
Does that mean you could also locate your data center in a specific region of the globe?
In a specific region?
Or just a specific country?
So specific region, yes, but not a specific data center. So like, for example, you know, location is something that, like what they talked about in the keynote, like we try to keep data centers located closely. Yeah, but if you're like a company in North America, right, you're not going to get a data center in Europe, for example, right? So you can't just go and pick and choose what region that you want to put your tenant in. Does that make sense?
Sure. So now you could have multiple tenants then? Is that what you're doing?
No, that's just identity. Identity for the tenant. You still have a single tenant. But those forests, right, the identity gets merged into, right? You have tools on site for Active Directory, right, that manage synchronizing all the identities from on-prem into the cloud. So those multiple forests get synchronized to that one tenant. I guess you could set up multiple tenants, I guess, if you wanted to.
But right now, one tenant, one data center.
Well, the tenants are spread across. It's not for, it doesn't quite work that way. So you're not just going to be like in the Quincy data center, like if you're in North America, right? Because what if Quincy data center goes down? Then you've got nothing, right? So there's, right, it's replicated around different data centers. But there are rules in certain countries about regions and what regions they have to be in. So there might be two data centers in Europe,
sure,
right? Your tenant is not just in one of those.
No, of course not, but it's right? Still so,
Same region, yeah. But you can't just go onto the website and say provision my tenant and put it in, you know, this region.
Okay, so then back to that, one tenant, one region.
One tenant, one region, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, not one tenant, one data center.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay.
I've got a question for you about China and the China wall.
And the, okay.
How do you manage that?
Not familiar with it at all.
You should get familiar with it because
okay.
Anything you do in China will slow your crawl because
of the China wall. Okay. So I run all of US. I don't do anything outside of the US.
Yeah.
So just giving you some background on that.
For global companies?
Yeah. No, I totally understand.
It's already been there, done that.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge deal.
No, I agree. I just don't know all the details on getting that set up. So where are we? Okay, so onboarding for the different workloads. This is just, again, more guidance around each one of the different workloads. Again, what the onboarding center will do when it comes to Exchange Online or Link or Yammer, right? Obviously, in some of these, we've got identity, obviously, that comes first to get that set up. But then provisioning, setting up the users, right, doing all that kind of stuff. So I'll kind of leave that out there for you guys to read. So customer and partner responsibilities. Again, this kind of goes back to my point about, you know, Microsoft engineers not coming in the door from the onboarding center to do this work and just take over and get you deployed. There's a lot of stuff that needs to happen, you know, on-prem in the cloud where there's responsibilities for everyone, right? The customer's responsible for certain tasks, the partner's responsible for certain tasks, and that could be the partner doing everything, right? The partner getting paid to do that. And then, of course, the stuff that the onboarding center is responsible for. Here's another slide on just more details. This is specifically about identity remediation. And then just some additional information about Exchange Online specifically. So what's going to go from where? They do talk a little bit about like Lotus Notes and other scenarios. But I mean, I didn't want to walk through each one of those and talk about all those different activities. Just kind of give you an idea that there's a lot of stuff there that, you know, you and your partners are responsible for getting done within your environment. That was one of the biggest pieces of feedback when we first announced, you know, this new fast track service was this, you know, hey, what partners are usually in here doing this kind of work, doing the onboarding work. Now what's in it for us? There's still a ton of stuff. And remember, this is just guidance. So I work with partners that maybe aren't as seasoned as some of you out there doing deployments. And like I said, I've got partners that tell the onboarding center, no, we'll call you when we're done and we're ready for you to check it. Right? And that's that they just sit back and they wait for that to happen. So just depends on how much of that service you want to opt into, who you want to do what. I know MCS works a lot with the onboarding center to say, okay, guys, we're going to be on site with this customer. We're going to do X, Y, and Z, but to save some money, we want the onboarding center to help with this piece and that piece, but not all of it, right? So just kind of a combination of and what works best for the customer and their environment. So the adoption offer. So Fast Track is specifically targeted at deployment, and that's just about that engineering, that process. There's something called an adoption offer that is related to Fast Track. It's not part of Fast Track. And the reason it's related is it helps with partners to get customers deployed, right? And it has two options. One option is what partners are interested in, and that's to receive funding from Microsoft to do adoption-related activities within that organization, right? And so a partner can come in and they can say, okay, well, we know Microsoft has Fast Track, right? And we have these engineers that are going to help us through this process. That might give you some cost savings, right? But it's not going to do everything for you. We're still going to do all this stuff. But we also need to get you to actually using the service and getting these people provisioned and et cetera. So here's our plan for adoption, right? Partners can get funding from Microsoft based on those qualifying customers. So customers that purchase 150 or more seats, right? The partner can qualify to receive funds for that deployment scenario. And like it says up there, to use towards remediation, migration, adoption activities, et cetera. You know, a common one is moving all the OneDrive for Business content, right? Fast Track engineers at the onboarding center will not move any data as part of the Fast Track service that you get for free with your purchase. So there's no data migration of anything. Just want to make that really clear. So one of the activities that's pretty popular is for the customer to say, okay, well, partner is going to work with onboarding center. They're going to get us into Office 365. But the partner is also going to migrate all of our data into OneDrive for all of our businesses or for all of our users. And that's going to cost us X number of dollars, right? And that is considered an adoption activity. Any activity that takes that customer into the cloud and gets them using the service is what qualifies. And that's all Office 365 workloads. So if you get them into Yammer and they're using Yammer, great. You get the adoption funding, right? If you get them into OneDrive for Business and they're sharing their documents and that reaches, you know, the milestone, then great. You get paid for that too, right? So that's option one of the adoption offer. Option two of the adoption offer is that last bullet point down below, which is Microsoft-provided mail migration. Okay? And there's a lot of terms and conditions around what that is, what we support and what we don't support, right? We don't just support everything. We'll move you from whatever you have into Exchange Online. That's not it at all. We've got very specific workloads that we'll move you from. You know, obviously, Exchange On-Prem is one of them. Lotus Notes is one of them. But Microsoft will move mailboxes and their content into Exchange Online, the onboarding center engineer. So when you're going through Fast Track and you're getting deployed, Fast Track's finished. You're deployed. People can sign in and use the service. That means they're deployed. The second phase is this adoption offer. And at that point, we're going to talk to the customer and the partner, and we're going to say, what do you guys need? Do you guys need us to continue with you and do your mail migration? Because we're going to see in the deployment plan whether or not we can do it or not based on what you specified, what your environment is. Or is your partner going to want the adoption activity funding and they're going to go and, you know, migrate your mail, migrate OneDrive, build you an app, whatever they want to do to get you, again, using the cloud. I just reinforce that point over and over again. You know, on this slide, I made it bold. Activities may include, right? We don't have a form that the partner fills out to say, okay, which one of these adoption activities are you doing within that organization to get paid? We don't specify specific activities. We specifically say, hey, if you get to 15% active usage on that tenant. So as a partner, if they go in and set up everything, get everything rolling, move everybody to OneDrive for Business, for example, and 15% or more of those assigned users are using OneDrive for Business, we can see that through telemetry. We know, you know, usage. We don't know who's using, but we know that it's being used. Those assigned licenses are being used. Then we'll say, hey, partner, you hit the 15%. Here's the money from the adoption offer. All right. So I think it's pretty cut and dry. Most people get hung up on the, well, what is an adoption activity? And over and over again, I have to tell them, it's, hey, just get that organization over that 15% mark. If they're posting in Yammer and 50% of those people are in Yammer using it, that's more than 15% active usage. That qualifies. So again, no detailed plan around that. But it might be cheaper, depending on the customer's environment, for Microsoft to do the mail migration. That's the only data that will move. So the partner won't get paid the adoption money. It's in one or the other. So we can't support both. But you know, it might cost a whole bunch of money for the partner to move those 200,000 mailboxes, right? Money might be better spent building an app that integrates with something, moving that into the cloud, et cetera. So again, it's kind of up to the partner and the customer to figure out what scenario is best for their situation. This is just details on mailbox migration and scheduling and stuff like that. So again, if you pick that option, one, they're going to make sure that everything's been done in the fast track process, right? Identity set up properly, DNS and domain are configured properly, et cetera, et cetera. Once they verify all that stuff has been handled properly, then the Microsoft engineer will take over and say, okay, let's move those mailboxes into Office 365. And again, not everything. I don't have time to go over all the ands and ors and buts, but on the deploy.office.com site, there's the migration tab, and there's a table that basically says, oh, Exchange 2003, this is what you get. Exchange 2007, this is what you get. This is what you don't get. And that's probably the more important piece, because the partner will look at that and say, hey, you don't get this or this, so is that important to you? Do we need to come up with a plan to do that for you, et cetera? So I'll leave that. I'll leave that for you to go and research. So with that, I'm wrapping up right now. I'll go ahead and take any questions on any of the stuff that we've just covered. If not, I thank you for attending the session. And I'll be around all week. If you have any questions on any of this stuff, I mean, we had the Yammer group set up, but if you want to talk specifically to me, just chris.hopkins@microsoft.com. Feel free to send me an email. I'm happy to talk to you and get any questions answered. Even if it's something that, you know, you want more clarity on, maybe regions and tenants and how that's broken out, I can find that information for you as well.